Friends, good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you again. I do always enjoy spending time in worship with you lovely folks and with your lovely choir. I'm glad we're getting a good sing song in today. Let me pray, which is a reminder stitched into my preaching scarf of the responsibility I have in speaking to you and a reminder of the responsibility you have in listening to me and making sure I don't screw up. Let me pray. God, may my words be loving and true, and may those who listen discern what is not. Amen. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. On either side of the river is the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. In our reading from the book of Revelation, the wild and incredible story of the end of all things comes to an end. The book of Revelation falls within a tradition of Jewish literature known as apocalypticism, which means literally unveiling or revealing, revelation. We see this genre of literature in the prophetic books like Daniel and Ezekiel, and in parts of Jesus' own teaching in the Gospels. The tradition of Jewish apocalypticism uses fantastical imagery to unveil or reveal where God is active in the seemingly mundane reality of the world around us. This fantastical imagery often feels like a splash of ice water to the face. It jolts us to paying attention. We are invited to enter a world of images that seem strange in order to see the world we inhabit day to day as in some sense strange. We are invited by these texts to test our assumptions. We are invited to slow down, to listen and look around us, to ask ourselves, where is God? What is God saying to us? Who is God calling us to be? In our reading today from the book of Revelation, God has finally come to rest with God's people. God has become the light of the world. All evil, all corruption, all falsehood have been set aside. All that remains is God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's truth. There is no need in this fully reconciled world for a building to serve as a temple with gates that shut and lights that dim. In a world where God dwells with God's people, there is instead a river that flows through the streets of the city, and a tree on either side of the river, and its leaves are for the healing of nations. This image of crystal waters and God resting with God's people is at once beautiful and tranquil. Given some of the images of death and disease, destruction and beasts that have preceded this, in the earlier parts of the book of Revelation, the scene is calming and restful. And yet, like the other images that are thrown at us in quick succession throughout the book of Revelation, this image can often seem alien and distant, with so little to do with us right here and right now. Perhaps the original readers or hearers of this text felt the same way. In the ancient world before the printing press and before modern levels of literacy, most people who encountered this text probably would have been much like us, sitting or standing and listening as this text, filled with fantastical images, was read to them as a gathered community gathered to worship. Perhaps hearing this text like us they felt like us. Wondering how these images made sense. Wondering how these strange images connected to their day-to-day lives. I want to suggest that far from some sort of distant hope, our reading from the book of Revelation points us to something that is true today. Something that is true here and true now. That God dwells with God's people. That God is dwelling with God's people. If only we slow down to listen and to look and to reflect on ourselves. Where are we? What are we saying to ourselves? Who are we called to be? The image in Revelation of God descending to dwell with humanity should not be read simply as a vision of some hopeful future. Rather, we can see in this image a guide for discerning how God is already dwelling with us in our lives. We see as a sign of God's dwelling with God's people the image of a tree and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. At the heart of what it looks like for God to dwell with God's people is this reconciliation and healing among the nations. Everyone is brought together by the river and tree of life. These are the symbols of a new creation that echo the creation of Genesis. So as we start to discern God, where God is within the midst of our lives, we might be guided by the ways in which we see this healing of the nations, the crossing of the boundaries of race and nation. There we might see the tree of life growing in our midst. We may have to ask ourselves what we need to do to see the healing of nations grow around us. We might have to ask ourselves what we need to do to reach people and to support people from nations that are hurting. We may need to look and see the opportunities to build relationships beyond our own communities and to care for those who have come across the waters to this land and those who have been here before many of us and our families came across the waters. The call of Revelation, I suggest, is not simply to sit idly by and wait for God to arrive. Rather, the offer of the vision of Revelation is to participate in how God is already dwelling with God's people and building a reconciled world around us. We must step into this vision, asking ourselves where we see the living God growing in our world. Remembering that the strange images of the book of Revelation are a call to see our mundane world as strange, to see an unveiling or revealing of God in our world today. As we journey towards celebrating Pentecost in a few weeks, our reading from the book of Acts provides a sort of more concrete example of what this might look like. At Pentecost, we commemorate that the Holy Spirit has come and formed the community that we are, the church. We commemorate that God has already come to dwell with us and to form us into God's people. Far from being a distant hope in the future, Pentecost recalls us to a hope that arises out of the past. When we read the vision of offered in Revelation alongside the stories of the book of Acts, I think we are reminded to be wary of seeing God's presence simply out there somewhere as a far-off hope. In our second reading from the book of Acts, Peter reports to the church in Jerusalem about his encounter with Cornelius, a Gentile. Peter retells the story of his being led by the same Holy Spirit of Pentecost, the Spirit that enabled the first believers to speak other languages, to build new relationships beyond themselves, beyond their simple language group. Peter was led by the same Spirit to see how he was being led beyond the barrier of language and helped to traverse the barriers of culture and food laws. God, we are told, was active among the Gentiles too, as God had first been active among the Jewish people. The lesson of Peter's encounter with Cornelius, indeed, the lesson that all of us, who I think probably most of us, are not Jewish, is precisely that the vision we glimpse in Revelation is already true now. That the reach of God's Spirit has included all of us. Peter's vision of a sheet being lowered and meat being offered to him was a vision of the ever-expanding table of Christ, the table of Christ at which we all sit. It was a vision of how God continues to welcome new people into relationships with one another, to meet and eat together. Many Bibles mistakenly title the story of Peter's encounter with Cornelius as the conversion of Cornelius. But what we learn in that story is that it is not first and foremost about how Cornelius is converted, but how Peter is converted to a new understanding of faith. The story is about how Peter is led by the Spirit beyond himself and beyond his people. What is surprising about the story of Peter and Cornelius is that it is the one from outside the community of faith that teaches. It is the Gentile first who experiences the Spirit. And so it is a story that begins to recognize how God is working across the cultural boundaries between Jews and Greeks. And by crossing the cultural boundary, Peter was able to see the presence of God. Perhaps then this is what we must learn about the reconciliation we have in Christ. Perhaps we must learn how to see God not simply in the security of our own community, but by encountering those beyond ourselves. Building relationships across culture and language, stepping out, stepping into the vision of reconciliation in order that the Spirit of God might be revealed to us. Here we might ask ourselves, how are we listening to the Spirit in those beyond our own community? How are we being led by the Spirit into new life? How are we seeing God revealed in our seemingly mundane lives? I can only suggest that we begin to answer these questions not with an idle hope, but with a discerning eye for where God is already working among us. And we can only begin to see God as we tend the garden that grows the tree of life in our midst. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And so I want to invite us to a time of prayerful contemplation as the choir sings. It's an invitation to slow down, to listen and to look, to ask ourselves where the breath of God is breathing upon all of us.